Captain, it looks like we have some visitors off the port bow. I think they're trying to say... What's that? I think I heard mocha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they said yes. Mocha latte. Mocha latte. Mocha latte. They're saying it's mocha latte time. Great show ahead this week, coming to you from Elmira, New York. We have a brand new Bean to Bow series, part 4 on brewing, and a new addition to my coffee family, as well as the coffee scene for Wheeling, West Virginia, and an all new music exclusive from Mod Dog coming up next. Welcome to Search for the Best Mocha Latte in the World. This is Circus Boy Nathan coming to you from the Flying Dutchman RV. Always unscripted, always unedited, and so if I say something that makes me sound like a, half-eaten can of tuna, I guess that's what I am, and I put it up there. Circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee, so this is my podcast project here, coming to you from a different town every week. Exciting show coming up this week. We have another new addition to my coffee family, so I'm rejoicing about that and excited to put that up and introduce you to that. That'll be coming up here in a second. And new Bean to Bow series, part 4, long awaited brewing. Well, the most, of course, if you're going to brew it, you have to drink it. Almost one of the most exciting parts of the Bean to Bow, for sure, much more exciting than the bow, I think. Well, I don't know, you can write in and tell me. And coffee scene in Wheeling, West Virginia, where we were this past week, and then all new music from Mod Dog. So I'm going to get right to it, hop right to it. The new coffee, well, I'm not going to tell you who the new coffee member is. Best Mocha Latte exclusive in the Dutchman RV. I took a trip in the RV about 10 feet away. Well, here it is, check it out. Hello and welcome to my kitchen in the back of my RV. This is the first time, I think, it's the first time podcasting from back here, so welcome to my kitchen. I am here breaking in my new tamper, the new member of my coffee family, with my former new member, the grinder, and not the mixer, as I mistakenly said last week. So let's get started here. I'm going to grind some beans. And while I'm grinding that, I have a new tamper this week from, it's called a bumper tamper. And, there we go. Alright. Got a new tamper this week. And for those of you not familiar with the tamper is the thing that you use to push down your coffee, your ground coffee, into the portafilter, and the portafilter being that little thing with a basket and a handle that goes underneath your espresso machine. And I finally got my new tamper in, and it's a 58, for those of you who are into the coffee, 58 millimeter convex aluminum base with aluminum rubber handle, and it's very nice, very heavy duty, as you're gonna hear on the counter there. It's very heavy duty. And I'm just going through bean after bean after bean here. Different ones that I've, some of them are kind of old, but I kept them around just to kind of experiment, even though they're past their expiration date. Just kept them around here to, there we go, to experiment a little bit. So I have, I'm going to explain a little bit to you the method of tamping and a little bit what it's about. I have here espresso blend from Double Shots, which is a place in Jeffersonville, Indiana, back from when we were in Louisville, if you remember Louisville. And I ground the beans in my new grinder that you all met last week on the podcast, my new KitchenAid, long-awaited KitchenAid. And I'm emptying out the portafilter here. I'm going to wash this out. There we go. And wash it out, dry it out. And I'm going to put the coffee in there, the coffee scoop. Now, as I said, there's two main ways to tamp. Now, you can't use, really, to get a good tamp on the coffee, on the espresso, which is very important, because if you don't have a good tamp, the pressure, when you put that 9-bar pressure on it, when you use an espresso machine, it will just move those grounds all around, and nothing will be even, and you won't get a good shot of espresso. It'll be uneven in the taste, and yeah, not good, too many variables. But in this case, when you have a heavy-duty tamper, one that fits your portafilter basket, in this case I have a 58 millimeter portafilter, and they range, you have to check your machine, they range anywhere from, I think usually about 53 to 58, depending on the brand. And once you get that tamper, you place it in the portafilter, as I'm doing here as I'm talking, and you want to kind of put it in the palm of your left hand and just push directly down like that. They say between 30 and 35 pounds of force. And a good way to test it actually is to put your portafilter, set it on a scale, and then do the tamping on there, and you can see how much pressure you're exerting down there. So put the portafilter in, and the first way is just to push down and then turn it left and right, counterclockwise, and put the pressure on it and just turn it left and right, and then just let it go at that, and then wipe the excess grounds off around the end there, and put it right on the espresso machine and go to town. So you put the cups under there. Let's see what we get. And this is the double shot espresso. Let's see. There. And, put that. Let's see, I may have ground them too fine. That happened last week, where I ground the coffee too fine and actually stopped up the roaster here. So for the shot. Looks pretty good. Looks like we're getting some crema. And the crema, if you remember, is the foam that you get on top. And that's a result of the 190 degree water hitting the coffee grounds in the correct way here. So let's pull it out and see what we got. And it looks pretty good. Not as much crema as I'd like, but then again, my espresso machine works through a thermal block, which there's a couple different ways of heating the water in espresso machines. Basically, well, there's three kinds. You have the kind that work on the steam pressure system, which aren't real espresso makers. They just pretty much make strong coffee because the pressure is not controlled. Because anytime you make espresso, you want the quiet microwave. Anytime you want to make espresso, you want fine ground coffee beans under 9-bar pressure and 190 degree water, and even tamp at about 30 to 35 pound pressure tamp. So let's taste this and see what we got here. It's not bad. Now these beans they're a little bit past their prime, but I'm just doing this to get practice with my tamper. But little acidic for my taste, a little bit acidic, but then again, like I said, they're a little bit past their prime. So that's the first way to tamp coffee beans. And I'm just looking at taking a look at the coffee grounds here, and you can kind of see after you take the portafilter off, you can look at the grounds and kind of see where the pressure, where the weak points were in your tamp, because it won't be exactly even across there. Okay, so let's go for, whoops, here we go, time for round two. Rinse off the portafilter. Alright. So, if you want to make real espresso like you get in the coffee shops, you want to get an espresso machine that works with a pump. And the one I have, nothing fancy actually, it's a Hamilton Beach espresso machine, and it has, oops, there we go. That's not enough for another one. I'll be right back. I'm gonna grind some more beans and get this set up for round two.
Proceed with the operation.
Roger,
30 seconds.
All right, welcome back to round two of of the tamper. Introduction of the tamper to my coffee family. So here we are, I got some more beans ground. Actually, these are, that smells good. It smells really dark, actually. But these are the newest beans I got. I actually tried them last week, the Brick House Coffee, and these are the freshest. So these should produce the best results. Just ground them in my new KitchenAid grinder that I introduced to the coffee family last week. And you know, I listened to it and I realized that I kept calling it the mixer. It's not a mixer, it's a grinder. I don't know. I guess I was just so excited I was beside myself. So, tamping method number two is you start out like the last one where you press down, straight down on the portafilter, and you twist clockwise and counterclockwise just to kind of get it in there. And then you take it out and you tap the side of it like that with the bottom, or I don't know if you call it the butt or what the proper name of it, of the tamper, and then you put it right back on there. Now the reason you do this is so that you get all the air pockets. Sometimes at the initial tamping there can be air pockets or little channels, and what happens is when the pressure, that 9 bar pressure that's exerted from the pump, it can do what's called channeling, which is, it's not, you know, basically channeling is taking the pressure wants to find the path of least resistance. Kind of like electricity or even like lazy college students. And it goes through there, and it actually, when that happens, then the all the grounds don't get equal exposure to the coffee, don't get equally extracted, and then you get an unevenly extracted portafilter of coffee, and it's not good. It's not, you don't get the full taste that has potential. So I'm gonna put it right on the espresso machine here and empty out the cups, put them under the portafilter there, put it on there. Whoops, there we go. Set the timer. And we should be set. Yep, there we go. Let's see. Another thing I've noticed making espresso is that definitely the atmosphere that you're making it in. Oops, there we go. It's kind of dribbling out. The atmosphere, whether it's a rainy day. For example, today is a rainy day here in Elmira, New York, and it affects the way. It affects the way that you make the espresso, the grind, and so forth. And also the elevation has a lot to do with, that was a little bit too long. Well, that may be a little over-extracted. But the elevation also has a lot to do with the way the water works. I've noticed, like when we were up in Lake Placid, my espresso, I couldn't get good crema on there because unfortunately I don't have a way to control the temperature yet. Oh, be quiet, microwave. I don't have a way to control the temperature yet on my espresso machine, hence I couldn't get it hot enough to really extract the full flavor. So let's try the this is the Brick House Coffee with the new tamper. Yeah, I over-extracted it, but you get the idea. So there's basically, with a tamper, a commercial-type tamper, there's two ways to tamper. There's the one just pressing straight down and twisting, and then the second type is pressing down and twisting, and then knocking the side of it to get anything loose, and then pressing down and twisting again to get all the little air pockets that may be in there and to get them out of there. So that is my welcome. I should take a picture of this tamper. Maybe I'll take a picture for everybody and put it up there on the website of my the new tamper. So cool. Back to the cast of potting.
A wonderful feeling.
Ah, yes, that it is. A wonderful feeling to have a new tamper, a new member of the coffee family. So this past week we were in Wheeling, West Virginia. It's kind of a sliver there between Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's actually literally a few miles away from the Ohio border, and I think only about maybe 10 or 15 minutes away from the Pennsylvania border. So interesting week there. Had an Indian summer, so it was nice to have a little bit of warm weather and cool little downtown there in Wheeling. As it turns out, from what I understand, most people only visit the casino there on the island in the middle of the river and never make it downtown. So but they definitely have a nice little downtown there, a couple historic theaters, so yeah, it was and a couple of good coffee shops. There were six coffee shops this week that I checked out, and but before I get to that, I'm gonna jump right into the Bean to Bowl series, part 4, which is brewing. And after we finish up with that, I'll come back and give you the coffee scene for Wheeling, West Virginia, and then we'll have our new music from my dog. So, without further ado, hello and welcome to part 4 of the Bean to Bowl series. And this week we are talking about brewing, which is you may agree with me wherever you're listening from. I think brewing's the best part of the Bean to Bowl process for sure. But first week we talked about coffee, where it's grown and harvested. Second week we talked about roasting, and third week we talked about grinding, third Bean to Bowl series. And this one we are talking about brewing, of course. Part 5, as we all know, is the bowel part, what happens when caffeine and such enters our system. But we'll leave that for part 5. So part 4, brewing. Now, we got to be thorough here at the Bean to Bowl series on Best Mocha Latte Search. And I looked up the brewing, and this is brewing and drinking, of course, because no one just brews coffee for the heck of it. Someone has to drink it. They brew it for people to drink. So brewing, I looked up the definition, and it's to make a beverage by boiling, steeping, or mixing various ingredients. So in this case, you'll probably understand, like, brewing is sometimes used in reference to beer, or sometimes it's used for tea. They don't usually say brewing though for tea, they say more like steeping. But it's in the same ballpark there. So how do you make your coffee? And that's the big question in brewing. How do you make your coffee? There's really 7 different ways, which is kind of cool, because I don't know of too many other beverages out there where that involve a brewing process, where you have really 7 different options in making your drink from the same bean or the same material. Like tea, you have leaves, and beer is a couple different, rice and hops and such. But in this case, we have 7 ways. We have auto drip, there's French press, also called press pot, there's percolating, which is sometimes called mocha pot, there's concentrated brewing, vacuum brewing, Middle Eastern, which is sometimes called Turkish or Greek, and espresso. Now, before I go into any of these ways, there's a couple of quality things we have to talk about now that affect all of them across the board. And these are very important aspects to making a good good cup of coffee or even espresso, good cup of espresso. The first one is grinding. How long has it been since the beans were ground? They say once the bean, once you grind the bean, unlock, as I called, unlock that little capsule of taste and oils and such. They say you got about 2 hours before it really starts to get past the point of no return as far as decay. The second one is roasting. How long since it's been roasted? When they first roast the beans, they say you should let them rest for a day or two to let the oils settle back in and calm down. And then you have anywhere from, depending how it's stored, about 15 to 20 days. And depending on how it's stored. And remember, don't store it in your refrigerator or freezer. Very bad, very bad, very bad. Third one, brewing equipment. You always want to make sure your equipment is clean. You want to have it so there's no leftover coffee oils from the last 500 times you brewed coffee in there, or whatever the last flavor was, or roast that you brewed in there. And the fourth one is bean quality. We talked about Arabica and Robusta beans back on the second one in roasting, and also coffee harvesting. And you don't want the Robusta as much. You want all Arabica beans and good quality beans. And the last one is water purity. You want to get the purest water possible, because any kind of, if it's hard water and it's been, you have a water softener hooked up, or there's just any kind of pollutants in there, that will drastically affect your coffee. So the five things on quality: the grinding time, how long since it's been roasted, the brewing equipment, you want clean, you want high bean quality, and clean water. Now, going right into the seven ways, remember there's seven ways to brew your coffee: auto drip, French press, percolating or mocha pot, the concentrated brewing, vacuum brewing, Middle Eastern, which is also called Turkish, and espresso. Now, the first one, auto drip. Now, auto drip, this is, in my experience, the most popular in the U.S. Pretty much every, I won't say every American home, but I'd say probably a good majority of them have an auto drip machine of one variety or another. Now, I want to list the pros and cons of each of these ways. The pros of an auto drip machine is it's cheap, it's convenient, it can be set for automatic start, which can be nice. There's minimal attention, you just start it and let it do its thing, and you can pretty much buy them anywhere, any supermarket, store, what have you. But the negatives for an auto drip machine, they usually use paper filters, which can leave a paper kind of taste in the coffee. There's no control over the water temperature, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. And the hot plate, most of them have hot plates, continues to cook the coffee after it's been brewed. And last is the glass carafe that catches the coffee. And the reason being is that it's breakable, which if you travel at all or have little kids running around the house, that may not be a good thing. So those are the cons. Now, tips for a better auto drip experience. Find a brand that has water brew temperatures. What I mean by that is the optimal brewing temperature for water mixing with ground coffee is between 195 and 200, really 200. Definitely not boiling, definitely not 212 Fahrenheit. And these are all in Fahrenheit, definitely not 212 Fahrenheit. But right around that 200 degree Fahrenheit mark is the optimal temperature for brewing coffee. Now, a finer grind will brew faster because there's more surface area exposed to the water, and a coarser grind will take a little bit longer to grind. So with the auto drip, there's no control over the water temperature, unfortunately. Some brands are calibrated actually to brew at 200 degrees, so that's something to look at. Also, a tip to make a better auto drip is use a gold mesh filter. Those are the reusable filters that you can find at any, Walmart or, whatever store. And what that does is the mesh filter will let the oils, more of the oils and the flavor compounds in the bean while it's brewing, pass through that filter and end up in the coffee pot and ultimately end up in your cup. Whereas the paper filter catches some of those oils and you don't get as full a spectrum of flavor. Also, buy an auto drip that brews into a thermopot or like a thermos. I've actually been seeing more of these lately. I know the Christmas season's coming up and I've been kind of just checking what's around as far as coffee stuff on the market. And I see a lot of them are using thermoses now, which is, that's the best thing to do, because what happens is when you continue to cook the coffee, like on most auto drips that have the hot plate, it actually re-cooks the oils, and all those oils deteriorate and disintegrate, and you lose the flavor, end up with this very kind of tart, syrupy, bitter taste, which is not, that's definitely not good coffee. So a thermos or a thermopot. If you do have a glass carafe, the best thing to do is after you brew the pot, pour it into a thermos or like a thermopot that doesn't have an active heating source, that just keeps it warm through insulation. Next thing, a tip for better auto drip, clean periodically with definitely with soap and water, but you can use a vinegar every once in a while, use a vinegar water solution, and that kind of clears out the the channel where the water comes through, because if you have any minerals in your water, there can become mineral deposits over time that will build up on there and actually make kind of yucky affect the flavor of your coffee. And the last is, if you have auto drip, brew a full pot. If you only brew like say, you know, you have a 12 cup pot but you only brew like 2 cups or 4 cups, you're not going to get the maximum amount of flavor, because the what happens is the water does not have enough time to actually sit on the coffee grounds and extract the full amount of taste. So you'll actually get a weaker tasting pot of coffee. So if you have a 12 12 cup coffee pot, brew the 12 cups or the 10 cups. But definitely don't reheat it, because it's once it cools down, let it cool down, and maybe use it for iced coffee the next day. So that's auto drip. That's the biggie in the U.S. The second one, French press pot. Now the pluses of the French press: there's no paper filters. It's a metal mesh. You have total control over the water temperature and the brew time, because you're adding them in yourself. And there's more body to the coffee. It's a pure taste. Not a big, when I made it for my mom the other week, she said there was no aftertaste, and that's because it's a pure taste. Now, the minuses of French press, it's kind of a messy cleanup with the grounds in there, especially if you're in a small space like an apartment or an RV, as in my case. And you must keep track of the brew time, or else you can actually overbrew and over extract there. You must heat the water yourself. There's no electricity needed, which that's actually a plus. Usually there's a little sediment in the cup, so that bothers some people. And you must drink it immediately. It doesn't stay warm, so you could either pour it into a thermos there in that case. And it's a glass beaker. Most of them are glass, which means it could break, especially if you're traveling like in an RV. If you'll remember back to our episode, what was it? I think 3 in Savannah, Georgia. Tom came by, one of the clowns from the show, and was telling us a story about when he was in Mexico. The roads are really bad down there, and all his dishes and his French press coffee pots came flying out of the cupboard and hit his marble floor there in his RV, and went to shards everywhere, shrapnel, coffee, French press shrapnel, yeah, all over his RV. But they are making plastic ones now, I've seen, and they're becoming more popular. Tips on French press: use water between 195 and 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Use even ground. Large particles are best. If you use too small, you'll get too many solids seeping through the filter, and also it will clog the filter and create pressure, which leaves a chance for it kind of backfiring, and you get scalding hot coffee flying up out of the filter on you. So that's French press. Third is the percolator, or mocha pot, as some called. Pluses for this: caffeine. It's a lot of caffeine, and the more time you have, longer extraction time, the more caffeine you have. and little attention needed. It doesn't need electricity. The minuses, however, on the percolator, it murders the coffee, which it really does. It continually cooks the coffee until it's like very bitter. You have no control over the water temperature. Basically, the way Moka Pot works is you just put it on the stove and heat it up, and it keeps pushing the water at almost boiling temperature, because that's what forces the water up over the coffee grounds. So the water hitting the coffee is just way too hot, and it's pretty much burning off those good flavor, the oils. So my tip I wrote is don't do it. But then again, there's a lot of people I know, my Bulgarian friends on the show, they swear by their Moka Pot. They use it every day for their coffee. So as I always say, drink what you like what you drink. So, but that's my take on the percolator. You can take it or leave it. It's fine. Fourth, concentrate brewing. This is something I'm not quite as familiar with. The pluses of this. Well, let me explain what it is. It's very popular in Latin America. It's where you basically let the coffee, a small amount of water and a large amount of coffee grounds, and you let it sit and brew, and it creates this almost like a coffee liquor or coffee syrup. And then for hot coffee, you take a little bit of this concentrate and then pour in hot water, and then that's your cup of coffee. Sometimes they'll put milk in there, sometimes they'll put sugar. The cold process of brewing this way, you actually have to leave it for a day to do it, if you do it in a cold process, concentrate brewing, which actually is starting to come mainstream a little bit. I've seen it here in the U.S. Pluses for the concentrate brewing: it can be brewed hot or cold, as I said, but the cold has to be at least one day. Easy storage, little acidity. The negatives is it's a smaller body in the flavor, and a milder aroma. So it's not quite, the taste definitely won't hit you over your head there. The fifth one is vacuum brewing. The vacuum brewing is basically kind of, it almost looks like a chemistry kit, really. You have two kind of like glass globes, basically, and the top one screws onto the bottom, and in between the top and bottom you have like a little funnel filter that holds the coffee grounds. And basically how it works is it heats up the water in that bottom one, forces it up to the top one, and then you take it off the heat, and as the bottom one cools, it creates a vacuum, and it draws the coffee down through that filter from the top back into to the bottom. So it actually draws it down, pulls it down that way. The pluses of vacuum brewing: there's no electricity needed if you do it on like a gas stove. It's cool to watch. Yeah, there's the visual aspect of it. If you want to have a party, you can do fondue and vacuum brewing. And it's a cleaner taste. But the negatives are it's a little labor intensive. The parts are highly breakable, being that it's all glass. Probably not good if you're traveling in an RV or have the small ones or running amok in the household. And the coffee is extracted at too high a temp. Again, it's being hit with that 212 degree water, which is, and that's 212 degrees Fahrenheit again, which is way above the optimal, about 200 degrees Fahrenheit. So that is vacuum brewing. Brewing. I can't speak quite correct. All right, number six, Middle Eastern method, which is also called Turkish coffee or Greek coffee. And this is where you have like some kind of pot. Usually it's traditionally it's an ibrik, which is a copper pot, and you grind the coffee as finely as you can, like a powder consistency, really. And you put it in the pot and add the water. If you want to add sugar, traditionally there's, I think, a little bit of sugar and spice, cardamom, I think I'm saying that right, is added. And then you bring it to a boil until there's kind of like a foam on top. Take it off the boil, off the heat rather, and stir it a little bit until the foam dissipates. Put it back on. You repeat that about two or three times, and until you've brought it back to that boil with the foam and stirred it, and then you're finished and you drink it as is. The pluses for Middle Eastern coffee: it's strong taste, exotic taste. Strong exotic taste. It's historical. This is the way it was done for, well, it's been done for thousands of years, actually, from one of the first ways. It's one of the oldest ways, basically, that's still around today of making coffee. It's an easy brewing method. Basically, you just have a pot or an ibrick and a flame. That's really all you need. And it's low maintenance. So it's, you know, nothing that's gonna break. You don't have to buy expensive parts like a tamper for espresso. Negatives. You need a very fine and even grind. And there's not... Usually, you can kind of get that with a blade grinder. You can definitely get that with a good burr grinder. And there's the old-fashioned way is to use a hand mill, kind of like a pepper mill that you see in the restaurants, to get that fine grind. So you have to get a powdery consistency. It's an attentive brewing process. You have to be present the whole time. As I say, take it on the heat, put it off the heat. You know, put it on, take it off. And there's also sediment in the cup, and for some people that freaks them out to have stuff in their cup. So those are negatives. Tips for making better Turkish coffee. As I said before, for a more traditional taste, you can put the sugar and spices in there. It's something a little different. So this is very popular overseas, in the Eastern Mediterranean and such, and the Bosphorus there in Greece. But here in America, you don't find it so much unless it's like a Turkish restaurant or a Greek restaurant that does traditional coffee there. And last but not least is espresso, which for me that's my favorite. Espresso is basically when you take coffee and grind it pretty fine, and you have to have a machine that is capable of putting 190 degree water, forcing it through the coffee grounds at 9 bar of pressure, consistent 9 bar of pressure, and brewing into warm cups. And it's over a very little extraction time, basically anywhere between 23 and 28 seconds. It varies on who you talk to as far as the extraction time. So pluses for espresso, I put special taste. It's pretty much I look at it as the nectar of the coffee world, because it's pretty much the essence of coffee in a small, concentrated, but very, I don't know, it's just like a burst of flavor, really. And also another plus is that the basis, it's the basis for espresso-based drinks. You know, your cappuccinos, your lattes, the mocha latte, of course, all come from that the shot of espresso. And the last positive I wrote here is quick brew time compared to a couple minutes for, you know, anywhere from 3 to 10 minutes on the other brewing processes. This one's only anywhere between 23 and 28 seconds. Negatives of espresso, it's a work of art. And you say, well, how's that a negative? Well, it's a negative in that it requires a lot of proper equipment, which most of the time costs a pretty penny. You know, you're talking about high quality grinder, high quality espresso machine, tamper, and then the beans, of course. So, you know, it's a work of art. So it requires the proper equipment, requires skill. It's really to get all the factors to mesh into one really good shot of espresso. Definitely takes skill. You need to have good quality beans, because you can't really hide the bad quality beans in an espresso shot, and you have to have a consistent grind. So it's negatives is that it's just a more labor intensive process as far as having the specialty equipment to do that. Now, tips on making a good espresso: as I said, a good grinder, a good quality grinder, usually like a burr grinder, which will give you fine and even grind. A good quality tamper, and you can get a good even 30-35 pounds of pressure on there. Quality espresso machine, which means that it doesn't work off steam. It means that it works. Has a pump and pumps water, 190 degree water at 9 bar pressure, and espresso machines vary also. I mean, as you heard, probably hear, you'll hear when I describe my new tamper that I bought for my coffee family there. Some machines use a thermal block to heat, some use a boiler for the water. And and then of course you have the different some portafilters are made of aluminum, some are made of brass. Then you actually can go to the extent where the whole process, the grinding, tapping, everything's done for you in some like the super automatics there. And of course there's the whole art of frothing the milk also, and then you can get into latte art. So really everything with espresso definitely requires a lot of skill there. Now my sources quickly for today that I use for my information and for actually for the past couple bean debals, sweetmaria.com, All For Coffee, their website. There's the website I Need Coffee. There's an article by Alexander Haas, and Espresso Planet Incorporated. So this has been part 4 of All right, good stuff. So we're back here in the Flying Dutchman RV, and I'm gonna fly through. We're a little bit over time this week again, but I'm gonna fly through the bean scene here for Wheeling, West Virginia. But first, as per tradition, I'm gonna make some espresso. I got it pre-tamped here. I got the espresso machine all set to go. Get that started. And while that's going, so Wheeling, West Virginia. There were six coffee places that I tried. I'm gonna go through them pretty quick here. The first one is Paramount Coffee, which is right near the arena there. We were at West Banco Arena this week, and I wrote, "Where's the espresso?" It was served auto to go cup, no foam, average chocolate. They did ask whipped cream, but not much to the drink. So I wrote closer to hot chocolate than espresso, really. So I gave them a 2.8 at Paramount Coffee. It's also called the Wheeling Coffee and Spice Shop. I saw it listed on Google as that. So 2.8 for Paramount Coffee. Second one is Center Cup Coffee, and they're there by the market. There's a farmer's market there in the middle of town. And I wrote here, too much chocolate, ! Average foam, hard to taste the drink because it was dominated by chocolate, really. So much chocolate that it was hard to finish it. So it was served auto to go cup, but they did ask on the whipped cream. So I gave them a 2.9 at Center Cup Coffee. Now Center Cup, it's a newer place. I think they've only been open about 9 or 11 months. But very nice decor inside, very modern, upscale. And they do have Wi-Fi there with the $5 minimum purchase. So nice place inside, but 2.9 on the mocha latte. Wasn't too much chocolate in there. Next place is Beans to Brew. It's a place right there on Market Street going out of town. I wrote, not great, but not bad either. Average foam, average chocolate, served auto to go cup. They asked on the whipped cream. Couldn't really taste much espresso in this. So I wrote, take it or leave it. I gave them a 3.2. That was Beans to Brew. And they're not so much of a coffee shop as they are kind of like a lunch spot. They have a few couches, a few chairs. They serve ice cream as well, hand dip ice cream, and right there on the street. So it's kind of more of a business casual lunch type of place. Next place, Second Cup Coffee, up there on the hill on the other side of the highway in the old Victorian area. Right here, the best in Wheeling, which it was. Served in-house cup, very nice mugs actually. Moderate foam. I wasn't a fan of the chocolate in the drink, but it was backed up by a nice espresso taste, and they did ask on the whipped cream. So overall, very decent drink. So I give them 4.1 this week at Second Cup Coffee. And very cool kind of place up there on the hill. It's pretty much all locals that hang out there, which is sign of a good coffee shop. Especially that's what keeps a lot of coffee shops in business when Starbucks comes into town, is the local flavor and the local patronage. But excuse me. Amanda was there, and she must work there. I think every day, 12 hours a day, because she was there every single time running the place. But a lot of attention to detail, couches, nice chairs, very, very cool, relaxed kind of environment. Second cup coffee. That was definitely my pick for Wheeling. Next, Island Coffee, which is just across the suspension bridge there on the island. I wrote, this drink scared me. Yeah, it did. I almost ran away. It was served out of to-go cup. Pretty much no foam, had a fake that is, i.e., powdered cocoa taste and weak espresso. I would definitely not try this drink again. I gave it a 2.4. It's kind of the island is known more for its gambling, I guess, than anything else. And it was kind of a coffee shop, but it had a slot machine room right next door that was just as big as a coffee shop area, and really, really smoky. So it wasn't really a place that I would want to go to sit down or read a paper and have coffee. That was Island Coffee. The last place I visited was the Wheeling Coffee Shop, and I wrote here, nicht gut. It was so bad I had to write it in German. So that everybody in the world could understand how much I didn't like this drink. I put right here, do not pay money for the mocha latte. There was no foam. It was powdery, kind of, I don't know if that's a word, chocolate taste, bitter espresso, served out of to-go cup, and asked on whipped cream. So I would definitely not drink this again. And, I gave them a 1.8. And as far as powdery and the word powdery goes, I know Slick, one of the other trumpet players from the Red Show, he would definitely say you can make up words and go with it. So I'm going to use powdery because Slick would say it's all right. So I gave them 1.8. So that's the coffee scene for this week in Wheeling, West Virginia. Not really too much that coffee. Initially, I thought there would be much more there than there was, but second cup was a good find. It was definitely a good find in the town. This week we are, well, it's coming up week, we're doing a split week, which in circus talk means we do two towns in 1 week. We're doing Elmira, where I'm broadcasting from now, and Binghamton, New York. And my espresso's getting cold here. It's not too bad. That tamper's working out. Elmira and Binghamton. And right now, as of the published date for this podcast, Elmira doesn't really have too much coffee at all. I haven't found one coffee shop yet, like coffee house type place. So it remains to be seen whether there's coffee here or not. But in any case, excuse me. Tune in next week for Elmira and Binghamton coffee scene. And there will be also a special Thanksgiving preview coming up. The next Bean to Bowl series will be coming up next week. The final, actually, which is the bowl part of it, part 5. And it could be, who knows, there might be a surprise next week, too. I'm not gonna give it away, but you never know. You may hear whales talking about mocha lattes. It could happen. It's happened before. So, yeah, I just have to expect the unexpected. That's the safest way to go. So, new music for this week from Mod Dog. He calls it At the Gate, and it's kind of cool little experiment on his part with adding a spoken word. I think it's Taiwanese train station, something like that. So, check it out, and it's kind of chill. And until next week. I almost forgot. If you want to write in, bestmochalatte@gmail.com, and check out the website at bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. We'd love to hear from you on there. So until next week, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye.
JR 北海道をご利用いただきまして。